The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Oh, all right. We're going to get going today. We are in a series talking about God's attributes. God's attributes, the attributes of God, who he is. Now, if you want to talk about the attributes of you or me, there's lots of attributes, right? According to some of my daughter's friends, I'm scary. I don't know why. I think I'm a big teddy bear, but they think I'm scary, mostly because I sit at games and don't say a lot. I just stare because I'm a coach. I have lots of things in my head I want to say, but I don't want to, go against what their coach is saying. So I just shut up and stare very hard. And so, you know, that maybe that's it. Or maybe, you look at other people and you go, well, he's a really big teddy bear. And that's fine, too. And some people go, well, he's just a troll. And that's fine, too. Those are all attributes that describe me in different ways. And I'm okay with all of them. And by the way, if I don't troll you, I probably don't love you. Like, that's part of my love language to you, okay? But as we look at the attributes of God, some of the attributes you have to know about God is the fact that he is love. Not just that he loves, that he is love. That very much is who he is. And when you look at the high and majestic and loftiness of God, is majesty. Everybody say majesty. When you look at the majesty of who God is, it changes the way that you do things. Now, have you ever been around royalty? They have a different air about them. They look different, they smell different. Everything about them is different, right? They walk differently. They walk a little bit straighter than everybody else. You know, we're just commoners. We walk like this. They just kind of walk like, yes, I know who I am, right? You know? Their majesty, they're different. When you go to their house, if you've ever been near their house, I've been close to a castle. I've not been to the castle. The beefeater is between me and him, the castle. But you can get close to it, and you look at it, and you go, yeah, that's different. I don't belong here, right? It's different. And God's majesty sets him apart from us. It's a holiness. It's a magisterial air about who he is and what he is. And as we explore these timeless truths, I want you to turn to Psalm 33. Psalm chapter 33, because this psalm celebrates the sovereignty and faithfulness of God. As we delve into the psalm, I want to discover some insights that I think will inspire us to trust God's unfailing love, the one we just sang about, to trust his unfailing love and to find hope and strength in his promises. Over and over, we've talked about this majesty of who God is, his unfailing love for us, and the fact that when he promises you something, he's not going to fail on it. You see, we have to learn in our life and even in our words and action how to ascribe to God his supreme worth. God, who is the omnipotent, omniscient, graceful, and merciful God. Those are all big words. But in the end, it's God is everywhere, knows everything. He's grateful and faithful and just. But he also is the source of your unceasing, overflowing joy. He's the source of all these things. Why is it that a person who sees God in relation to man is more likely to praise God? I've always wondered that. Why is it that when we see God in relation to man, we're more likely to praise him? I think the Psalm 33, the psalm is a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of praise. However, there's no particular identification on who wrote this psalm. So we don't know if it was David, we don't know if it was Jonathan, we don't know who wrote the psalm. We just know that it's a psalm of praise that made it in God's word. But in some people, I was reading some commentaries this week, they said, it's David, it's surely David. But we're not sure of that. Also, we don't even know why it was written. We just know it was written. Have you ever had a time where you just praise God just because? You ever want to shout for joy to God just because? Like, I mean, I don't know about you, I have praise sessions in my car sometimes. Those are fun. If I got on a long trip, I just turn on some worship music. I was at the link the other day, and I've been doing this new workout routine, and the guy that gave me the routine told me I have to do 2 minutes of diaphragmic breathing, which I had to go look that up because I didn't know what that was. And so I had to lay on the ground, do 2 minutes of diaphragmic breathing. And so I'm laying on the ground, and I couldn't, worship because, I got all the noise around you, people grunting and dropping weights and sweating in general, all that fun stuff. And so I put my earbuds in and I turn on some deep worship music. And I didn't know I can get to the throne of God in 2 minutes. But I'm on the ground, and all of a sudden my alarm goes off. I'm like, turn that thing off and just stay right here. I think people thought I was dead. I don't know. But I was just laying there just trying not to cry on the ground on my back in the corner. I made sure I was in the corner, right? Right, but when you praise God, sometimes there's not an occasion to do it. You just do it. Now, for those of you that haven't done it, I pray you get there. But you just find an occasion to praise God. At work, at home, on the treadmill, hopefully you get control before you get off. Like, you know, but somewhere you praise God. And I think that's what happened here in Psalm 33. Somebody was just praising God and wrote it down. Because here's one thing for sure. The psalm was altogether inspired of God. And although the praise of God is the subject of the sacred song, the upright or righteous are exhorted to praise him. The upright, you and I, the righteous, you and I, are exhorted to praise him and rejoice in him. And in our present context, you also, Christian, are exhorted to praise God. Often we focus on the preacher's worth or the teacher's worth or the music's worth or the building's worth, and we go, man, that song takes... Sometimes you just got to praise him. And all these are important. They are. The preacher, the teacher, the building, the music. Was it really good? Did Caleb hit it today? Like all these good stuff, that's fine. But don't fail to allow it. Don't let those elements usher you into the presence of God every time. Learn to praise him on your own. Use those as tools to help you get there, but that's not it. Sometimes you just got to praise him for what you have. The other morning, I got a picture from my son. He was on a trip with a soccer team. He decided to get up at 0:30 to go fishing. Surprise. And he was out there, and he took a picture of the sunrise. And ever since my kids have been little, they always look out my front window and go, Daddy, look at the sunrise. I remember my youngest would always go, or my oldest would go, Daddy, God painted the sky a new color today. We'd run out to the front porch and watch it some mornings. That's an occasion to praise God, not because the worship music was hidden, not because you read a special Bible verse, just because God painted the sky a new color for you. Learn to praise him. No matter what it is, learn to praise him. With that being said, I'm going to ask you to stand in the honor of reading of God's word. We're going to start in Psalm 33. Psalm chapter 33. The word says, shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice, the earth full of steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens are made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters up of the sea as a heap and puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded it, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. Counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom is chosen his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven, and he sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army, a warrior not delivered by his great strength. A war horse is false hope of salvation by his great might. It cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul awaits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. If I were to have a thought today, I'd put it like this. God, the mighty creator, is the great deliverer of all who trust in him. God, the mighty creator, is the great deliverer of all who trust in him. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you are our mighty deliverer and creator. that no matter what is going on in the world, regardless of government shutdowns, regardless of what party is saying what to whom, regardless of what's going on in our jobs or even our homes, that you, in the midst of all of those that fear you, watch over us, deliver us, and carry us so that we can be faithful to you and love you. Father, let us not forget that when we came to you, we got you. And everything else is secondary. Stir our dying fires again to reignite a fresh flame within us so that we may trust in your steadfast and unfailing love. Thank you, Jesus, that you would allow us to love you in that way. And I just ask that you let the words of my heart and the meditations of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Our Redeemer in whom we trust. In Jesus' mighty name, and all that agree would say, amen. You may be seated. So this morning I want to teach you how to praise. Everybody say the word praise. Okay, we got to say it a little bit better because, I mean, this is praising, so you can't be like, oh, praise, right? Like, be like, I'm going to praise you in the storm. Like, I've always found that odd when we sing some worship songs, and they're like, we bow down, and nobody bows, right? You ever thought about that? I also get a little scared of worship songs when they ask God to do things, and usually it's like new Christians that ask this. I was listening to one on Wednesday when I was cooking, and it said, I want to be tried by fire, and I was like, I'm not singing that. Not singing that one, no. No, thank you, right? But when we say praise, maybe we should say praise. You should act like it. So here, let's try it again. Everybody say praise.
Praise.
There we go. So we've got 3 points today. I want you to write them down if you take notes. Number one, praise God for his righteousness. Praise God for his righteousness. The psalmist says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. We are here exhorted to rejoice in the Lord. What is rejoice? I had to go look it up because I'm nerdy like that. So here's what it says, okay? Rejoice means to shout, usually for joy. Aloud for joy, cry aloud, be joyful, make a loud noise. Rejoice is a cause to shout for joy, a cause to sing aloud for joy, to triumph. You ever done that? You ever just rejoiced? You ever been to the point you've rejoiced? One of the first times I ever rejoiced in my Christian life, I was a brand new Christian. It was when Promise Keepers was still around. Some of you guys may remember Promise Keepers, maybe not, and that's okay. It was down at Kemper Arena in Kansas City. I'm in a room with 20-something thousand men, and we're singing. I've never heard that many men praise God before in my life. Gave me chills. Still, I got chills now thinking about it. Just hearing men sing, just letting go, crying, weeping, just praising God completely. And in that moment, my heart said, yes. And I let go. I didn't care. I remember the worship leader sang like half the song and then dipped off the stage. By the time I opened my eyes and we stopped singing, there was nobody on the stage. It was just us rejoicing to God. I'm telling you, that moment there changed the way I worshiped. Because all of a sudden I was like, that's rejoicing. That's lifting my hands. That's lifting my voice to God. That's not caring. That's me having an audience of one. Because a lot of times, can we be honest, right? A lot of times we're worried, okay, what do they think about me? If I raise my arm, do I have pit stains, right? Do I look really weird? Do I smell weird? I didn't put deodorant on. Crap. Okay, so here, over here, right? Like, nobody cared in that moment, right? But a lot of us care about all these external factors when it comes to rejoicing God. We're all worried about that when really there's an audience of one. It's you in him, and that's it. So when we rejoice, it means to shout for joy, to shout for joy. It's natural. I want to say this again because I know, especially in the Midwest, we tend to be quiet in our worship. It is natural to do so. It is okay. Some of you are like, I don't shout. Do you? I think you do. Given the right circumstance. I was on a soccer pitch yesterday shouting, right? I mean, people shout all the time. We shout all the time. Can we shout for joy? It's not something supernatural. It comes from your heart. It comes from the heart from the believer walking out fellowship with God. And when you do that, you start to acknowledge his faithfulness and his mercy. In that moment, I started realizing, like, God has been merciful. If you knew the person I was before I walked in Camp Arena and the person I was after, those are two different men. God has been faithful to me. One, just to keep me alive to that point. I didn't even deserve that, but he did. You see, the psalmist exhorts us. He says, praise God. Praise God. We have to sing a song of praise to the Lord. The psalmist is calling us to do so, but he doesn't say, if you feel like it. He doesn't ever say, if you feel like it. Matter of fact, everybody say the word hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand that's a command? In Hebrew, that's a command. That's not, hey, if you get around to it and you really feel like it, and today's that day, go ahead and praise God. No. No, hallelujah means praise God. Like when your mama calls your name, that's not a suggestion on when you get around to it, come. That's now. Get downstairs now, or upstairs, or wherever it has to be. Get there now. When we say hallelujah, when he's saying in this verse, praise God, he's saying, do it now. Man should praise God with their entire being and or with enthusiasm. It's important to praise God with uprightness of heart is what he says, 119 and 7. The scripture emphasizes that we should praise God audibly. For we read, my mouth shall flow forth for praise, Psalm 51 and 15. Our praise should also be filled with joy, Psalm 63 and 5, and also continually Psalm 35 and 28. Over and over, you see this. Now, how does it look like to praise God? Verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Look up the word righteousness and upright. According to verse 1, only those who are righteous conduct in character should praise God. They are bound by the mercies and favors they've received. Why? Here, I'm going to give you a quote from a pastor friend of mine. He's been dead for a while, but I consider him a friend. I read him a lot. It says this, praise is not comely from the unpardoned professional singers. It's like a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Crooked hearts make crooked music, but the upright of the Lord are the Lord's delight. Praise is the dress of saints in heaven. It is meet that they should fit it on below. You can't praise God with music that comes from the world. It's just not possible. I mean, there's a lot of good music from the world. Can we be honest with that? I don't know about Taylor Swift's new album, but the other stuff is pretty good, right? There's some good stuff out there. But God is not going to accept the praise of unrepentant sinners. He's pretty consistent about that all throughout Scripture. He's not going to accept the praise of wayward saints. I'm not going to do that either. So how should you praise God? Go to verse 2. It says it. We're told to praise God with musical instruments. I know some people are like, we don't do that. The Bible says it, so, I mean, deal with that and then come holler at me, okay? But, like, God's word says it, so there you go. So we heard piano, we heard trumpets, we heard other musical instruments. There's a lyre, which is a guitar, but, you know, some people kind of freak out about that. But if we're using them for the glory of God, then it's appropriate. I've been in church, like, we don't use drums. Drums are of the devil. Okay, come on now. If you're using it for the glory of God, it's appropriate. It's how you're using it. In church, we play with musical instruments to God, not ourselves. Dan doesn't stand up here to put the spotlight on himself, though there are five. Like, he doesn't go, let it be on. That's not the point. He's trying to lead you into the throne of grace. Show you where God is leading us. That's what he's trying to do. Why? Because we're singing a new song, verse 3, spontaneously to the Lord, singing that song that comes from the heart. Why? Rejoice and praise God because he's worthy to be praised. That's why. But I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. He's worthy to be praised. But I mean, it was a bad week. Doesn't matter. He's worthy to be praised. But man, this is, it hasn't worked out the way I wanted to. Doesn't matter. He's worthy to be praised. Right? Like it's going to keep coming back to that until you get it. You're going to keep saying over and over, he's worthy to be praised. Christians of all people have to recognize that the word of God is sure and does not change. He's worthy to be praised. And the Lord's instruction to man's nature doesn't change. What God declares will always come to pass. He says that over and over and over, and we're sure of that because God is just and faithful. We have to recognize that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Adam Clark says this. He says, to hear this, worthless inhabitants complain. One would think that God had dispensed evil, not good. To examine the operation of his hand, everything is marked with mercy. There's no place where his goodness does not appear. Your life is full of God's goodness. The breath that you just stole from him is full of God's goodness. The heartbeat that you don't deserve is full of God's goodness. Everything we have. And so if you're questioning why you should praise God, the fact that you took a breath and thought that is the reason you should praise God. Because we don't deserve any of it, yet he gives it freely because he loves you. All of God's earth is filled with his goodness and mercy. Have we not seen his goodness in our life? If you've been through some stuff, some trials, if you got the call from the doctor that says, we got to do another test. You've been stressed, and then on the other side, he's done something good for you. We've seen it. Some of you have received financial assistance. Some of you guys have seen sick been healed. Some of you have seen children that are out there that have come back. You've seen all these different things. Does he not deserve it? The word of the Lord is upright, and what he promised will come to pass. He's faithful and just. Number two, praise God for his power. You praise God for his power. So first off, we start off the verses praising God for his righteousness, who he is. Now we praise God for his power. Verses 6 through 12 is where it is. While the word of God is absolutely essential for salvation for fallen man, there's no great revelation here. There just isn't. But Paul declares that man can know God because of the revelation of nature. That's what it says. And from the nature of man, we learn that God is an all-powerful being. Isaiah tells us that. The nature declares the infinite wisdom of who God is. And those who mock God, those who mock creation, will one day stand before God in his judgment seat. And I don't want to be in their shoes. He says, for you and I, we get to love and fear God for his power. Augustine of Hippo, you may not know him, he was an early church father. He says this, let them not fear another instead of him. Doth a wild beast rage? Fear, doth a serpent lie in wait? Fear God. Doth a man hate thee? Fear God. Doth the devil fight thee? Fear God. For the whole creation is under him whom thou art commanded to fear. Now, let me define fear real quick. Fear is the same thing you should probably have of your father, right? There's a healthy respect, love, but also knowing that He can put you down in any second. I still have that about my dad. I mean, he's 70, but I'm not crossing him. I have enough fear of my mother that 20 years into my marriage, I still call my mother-in-law, ma'am. And she has said, please do not do that. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'll stop. because I'm scared that Mary Nelson will pop out of the grave and backhand me, right? There is a healthy fear and respect from my mother who's put that in me. She's been gone a decade now. But I swear, she'll come, ma'am. You will call her ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I will. It's fear. There's a love and respect. It's not just, hey, I'm scared of you. It's not that. It's respect for who he is. God has power in his command. When he speaks, comes to pass. And the very reasons we get to praise God is because if God says, jump, you understand whales jump because God says it, right? Like I love that. You understand that like all these things happen in the world because God says and commands and allows for it to happen. So how weird is it for us not to praise him when the whole world praises him, when the earth will cry out? Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. You should figure this out. These things that my kids like to throw will start screaming for Jesus if we don't. Yet we go, well, I'm not sure if I should. I just don't feel it today. Not about your feelings. See, Christ says, I'll give you eternal life that will never perish, that no one can snatch from me. You can never take this. And when you take this, that's what it means to be a born-again believer, that Jesus gave you eternal life. He gave you all of this. Why? Because God's word is sure. God is faithful. In verse 10 of this chapter, we read, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to naught. He frustrates the plan of people. The Lord influences the heart of every person. The thoughts and counsels and purposes and designs. God will overrule even evil thoughts of men to bring good out of it. There's times where men will design things for evil, and then God will go, let me show you how I can make this good. There are people that try to devise plans against God, even against his commandments. However, God makes devices of people who to non-effect, to his counsel to remain and stand forever. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of all generations stand forever. Romans 8:29-30 says this, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he justified, he also, for those whom he justified, he glorified. Spurgeon puts it this way, no man can accept his will or plan or be carried out from age to age, the wisdom of one period of the folly of another. But the Lord's wisdom is always wise. His designs run from century to century. His power to fulfill his purposes by no means diminished by the lapse of years. His will, his purpose of God, of people stand forever. Something kind of crazy. I jump on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, every once in a while, and then my phone starts to catch on fire and I turn it off pretty quickly. Ever since Charlie Kirk's murder, assassination, they had the big service for him, everything that came up. And there's a girl or a lady, I don't know really, she's a lady. And she said she went to the service and she sat and she heard the worship music. And she joked on Twitter, man, this might kind of affect me. Okay, that's funny, that's kind of weird. And she's a devout atheist, but she's like conservative actress, da-da-da-da. Thought it was interesting. Then I jumped on Twitter a week later, and she was following. She's even put on her Twitter feed, and she has millions of followers. I started following one of the worship leaders. Just the music sounded kind of cool. Okay, whatever, great. Last week I jumped on Twitter, my once a week barn burner. I jumped back on, and her thing comes back up, and she goes, I went to church for the first time. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Right? She went to church for the first time. And then she was like, literally had this long feed of like what it was like and what happened. And she was scared people were going to judge her, but they just kind of gave her hugs and welcomed her in. And, this whole thing. And you're just going, and whether you agree with everything that happened at the event or whatever, don't really care. God's word is coming through. This young lady is now not only going to church, but now is using her platform to tell other people about church. So whether she comes to Christ or not, she may tell other people to go and receive Christ. Like it's just interesting what God is, what people designed for evil, God is using for good. You never know what's going to happen out of it. Psalm 138:8 says this, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. God will fulfill his purpose for me. God's purposes in his word are going to stand forever because in heaven, and its application will be done on earth. Period. Full stop. Nothing you can do about it. Verse 12 says the same thing, that blessed is the nation where God is the Lord and the people whom he has chosen as heritage. What a blessing indeed to be chosen, the chosen people of God. That's your job. You get to be the chosen people of God. And I'm glad I'm chosen. I'm glad that I'm a child of God. I'm glad that with great joy that I get to be in the family of God. Isn't it great rejoicing with brothers and sisters? Isn't it great gathering with brothers and sisters? Because God has chosen us to be his possessions, his particular people, his peculiar people. Nothing against you, but peculiar people. John Calvin, a great theologian, said, God's gracious electing of love accounted us as the people of God. If you're taking notes, write this down. You not just praise God for his righteousness, you don't praise God for his strength, you also praise him for his steadfast love. His steadfast love. It never ends. The psalmist says, the Lord look upon heaven. Heaven is said to be a dwelling place of God, 1 Kings 8:30. It is from heaven that God answered all those who call upon him. It is from heaven that the judgment seat of God manifests towards evil. Verse 13, it says this, though he has endued man with the understanding of freedom of will, yet he reserves to himself the government of him, even those, this is from Matthew Henry, excuse me, even those whose very faculties by which he's qualified to govern himself, the children of men are under his eye. We're all underneath him. We all get to see exactly what God has for him, and he loves us so much that he keeps us right there. All men and women, owe their being to God. Your life, your very existence, you owe to God. God knows the hearts of our hearts. He knows the wickedness that's there. He knows how deep you can actually go. He also knows how much love you have. He knows everything about you. Everything about you. You know the thing that you don't tell anybody? He knows that. And God says, I still will rule over the nations. I still will love you. He sits on the throne of all universal dominion. By the way, if our president or the king of England or anybody thinks they have all the rule, they got a lot of power. Don't get me wrong. They got a lot of power. But if God decides to put them down, it's a wrap. It's done. You don't get to take another breath. Today is your last day. All things, ruling all things, working all things after the counsel of his own will. All of this works for his will. Not only does sovereignty and rule of the decisions of kings of earth, it also determines military victory and it brings victory that the kings please. I want you to understand everything God has. And by the way, this blew me away this week because I was reading about Boko Haram that's happening, that is fighting Christians. You want to talk about a genocide? There are a lot of genocides that people are talking about. This is one that's actually happening in Nigeria right now. Boko Haram is an Islamist group that is actively trying to eliminate all Christians in Nigeria. Burning churches. I showed my kids a clip earlier this week of a pastor, some pastors sitting in a church, and everybody was sitting around them, and they were singing worship music in a church that's completely burned out. To go on and listen to that pastor's message, and for him to tell his people, this was God's will, and I don't understand it, but I trust the Lord that many will come to faith because of it. Then they went out and had a baptism service. And I said, yes and amen. And to hear them singing in this church where it's still smoldering, where the clip before, they're literally the day before running from the church as people are shooting machine guns at them. Just for gathering and worship. Yeah, even that. I don't understand it. I'm not going to sit here if you go, Pastor, explain. I can't. I don't know it. I don't know how to explain it to you. I do know that God will bring good out of it. It's very evident from the strength of any army. It doesn't have any strength without God. I mean, we can put our trust in our nation's army. I mean, this weekend, the Secretary of War got everybody together and gave them a speech. I mean, that's great. We got all that many generals and planes and ships. And that's great. If God says, they're all gone. That's it. We have to understand, we can be as big and strong as we think. Doesn't matter. That's how powerful God is. And while those that depend on arms and armies and tanks and planes, they'll perish in disappointment of their expectations, God's people, under his protection, are safe. We are safe. He will deliver our souls from death. Even in death, we're safe. We get to go home to be with him. There will be time, and I learned it by watching over and over these Nigerians. If your body doesn't get delivered from temporal death, is what this pastor said, and I'm going to quote him. If your body does not get delivered from temporal death, he will deliver your soul from spiritual and eternal death. Your soul, whatever happens, shall live and praise him either in this world or better in the next. To sit in a church that's still smoldering from the day before with the blood of your congregants on the ground around you and to say, God will still save me, says more about his faith in Christ than I think any of us will ever experience. Those that have the Lord God shall find their help and their shield in him. Lastly, this chapter says this. The godly believer waits in expectation of the Lord in time of help. Let me remind you, this call to praise God, again, the command to praise God, this command to praise God is a call to praise the Lord, and you have to consider seriously what you are in. Believer, I urge you to conduct a character praising of the Lord in song and words. I'm telling you, just praise him for who he is, not just his love. We sing a lot about his love. What about his righteousness? Think about that. What about his patience and long-suffering? We must not only in word and tongue believe, but then let it work itself out in your body and what you do and how you go. We must rely on God and his hope and mercy and goodness in his nature, though we have not enough to express dependence on him all the time, but we begin to sing it and sing it and sing it, and those that fear God and his wrath must hope in God and his mercy. Let me give you this line again. I want you to hear it. God, the mighty creator, this is my soul tattoo. God, the mighty creator, is the deliverer of all those who trust in him. Praise is becoming of the upright. God designed praise and worship for the people who need him. You and I, we need him. I'll just say me. I need him. I hope you need him too. In rejoicing and praising God for his holiness and his majesty and his power helps us to see ourselves how we truly are. Sometimes you don't see yourself clearly. Sometimes you got to wipe the boogers out your eyes so you can see yourself clearly. And God helps you to do that. The psalmist learned that we could rejoice because of our trust in God. There's a story of a young man I read this week. He was at sea, raging sea going against them. All the passengers were at their wits' end in fear. He was merry, which is weird. I'm sure everybody's like, why are you so happy, dude? Like, you know, it's kind of like Jonah, we're going to die. And he's like, woohoo. When they asked the reason why he was happy, he answered that the pilot of the ship was his dad. And he knew his dad would take care of him. I like that. You see, Christian, in today's day and age, when we're freaking out, we have a great wise God who is our Father. From eternity has decreed that we shall be in the issue of all wars, we'll be in all these troubles, there'll be terrorist attacks, there'll be government shutdown, decline of economy, your house will burn down, all these things will happen. But he's the pilot of your ship. And you know he's going to get you through the storm okay. You know he's going to get you to where you need to be okay. It may not be how you want. Heck, it might not even be when you want. But you know he's going to get you there, okay? Trust in God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you allow us to trust in you. And that in doing that, we get to trust in your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, who gave us the ability to come to you, to fall on our face before you, and to love you. Jesus, I thank you so much that you've not only died for us, but that sin couldn't hold you, and that you rose again on the third day, defeating sin and death. All the things that are meant to take us out, you took out. Why? Because you're perfect and we are not. And Father, we come because we need your Son's blood to cover us, to be our righteousness, to be everything that we need. Jesus, thank you so much that you would do that. God, help us to praise you even when we don't know how or why we need to praise you. When we don't feel like it, when it's not convenient, help us to praise you. Help us to listen to the command from you to praise you because you are worthy. Father, when we want to praise you, Father, we need you to show us how to do it and encounter us in that moment, not because of the music, not because of the preaching, not because of the church, not because of any of the factors, because you are God and you are good. And that attribute should be enough for us to love and worship you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Father, I just ask today that you not only help us, but that this week you give us opportunities to follow through in worshiping you. And if any of us in this room are struggling, Jesus, I just ask that you make it clear how we can break through that struggle and come to you with our hands and arms open wide, ready to worship you. Father, we thank you for all of this. In your precious name we pray, and all God's saints would say.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.